Welcome to Juicing the People versus O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession. I'm Adam Papagan.
And I'm J.J. Stratford.
This is the show where we go inside all the great documentaries, specials, the media about the media circus, the crime of the century. And we've been away for a while. You know, O.J. mania sort of died down, but the great thing about O.J., always more TV specials, more books, more things to discuss.
More hidden videos.
Who knows what else they'll unearth. So they did last week on Fox. Where else? Where else but Fox? They showed a special called O.J. The Lost Confession about... this was an interview that it wasn't really lost. What had happened was, along with the If I Did It book, there was going to be this TV special where O.J. would confess, hypothetically, on camera. And then when the book got canceled, the TV special got shelved. The book ended up coming out. The TV show never did. But now that American Idol has moved to ABC and Fox needed some counter-programming for the premiere, we got this great confession. Did you watch it, J.J.?
I did. And I love it that that's their desperate attempt to get back at American Idol.
Well, it's like they've had this thing for like 12 years. They've had this special. And they didn't do it during the parole hearing. They didn't do it during the FX show. But
they did it to get back at their like old lover, American Idol.
Yeah, get back at Seacrest. Well, whatever the reason, I'm so glad this happened. This, I thought, was a really fascinating television special. Have you ever seen anything like this?
I haven't.
Where someone is confessing to murder on television?
Actually, at 5 minutes in, I was like, we do have to talk about this on Juicing. We have to juice it because...
A special emergency juice.
Yeah.
It was better than I thought it would be.
Agreed. The scenario was really strange. The lighting and the set was very futuristic. It reminded me of like something you'd see on The Running Man, like climbing for dollars. Like it's got really dramatic lighting and they're like sitting in a pyramid.
I picked up on that too. This is the same era as Weakest Link and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh yeah, okay. So bright spotlight in the middle was the style.
Yeah, so I think it was kind of supposed to be like that. The host was Judith Regan. Regan? Doesn't matter.
I think it's Regan.
Regan, I think so. Who published a lot of these, like, tabloids. I think she was editor of the National Enquirer in the 80s and 90s, and she published a bunch of these kind of, like, tell-all books. So she was the one who did the interview. And she actually got fired because of this whole fiasco.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she got fired by News Corp, who was the parent company of the publisher that she was working for. That's why this was on Fox, is, you know. But Rupert Murdoch fired her, and then she sued for wrongful termination, and she got $10 million.
Wow.
Just another example of the O.J. bump.
Yeah. Everyone, but kind of, if you have a scandal around it, you're going to cash in. It's almost better than it being a success.
Yeah. And then she probably got paid to do this reunion thing, be a commentator. So she kind of got paid twice for this.
She's very good at keeping a straight face the entire time and also pandering to OJ's soft side. Because she's a very pretty woman. And she doesn't ever look shocked or disgusted with what he's saying. I think she just kind of like looked at him in like a neutral, unintimidating kind of way.
It's another day at work for her.
Yeah, but I think it really played. I think it's also why it's very successful. I think she kind of lets OJ run on and on and expose himself. She doesn't really have to do that much to get him to talk.
It seemed like he was nervous, but he also like was really digging the attention and the opportunity to talk.
Yeah. What's the difference between, I mean, I'm... When was the interview, and when was, you know, the other program?
Oh, the one for BET.
Oh, that one.
Okay, so he did one for BET right after the trial.
Okay.
With, I forget who hosted that. And that's the one, I think that ended up airing. But then there's a VHS tape, there's a home video of OJ the interview, which is different. But that one, he's just talking about, like, the trial and the police cover-up and stuff like that. This was... See, I liked how in-depth they went about... My favorite part of this is, like, all the stuff leading up to the murder.
Yeah.
How, like, bland their lives were and all the little details. And she talked about the Daisy, the restaurant where they met. And OJ actually had a dish named after him at the restaurant.
Oh, did
called, it was like the OJ scramble. It had oranges and scrambled eggs in it. I have to recreate that one at home.
Yeah, yeah.
OJ Test Kitchen. All that. And then they had the panel. They got Darden.
Darden is still so mad about all of it.
Well, I mean, Darden's probably like look, watching this and he's like, look, he's confessing.
So frustrating.
And people still aren't going to believe this confession.
The show starts off and the first thing that OJ says is, I know the facts better than anyone.
Well, yes, he was there.
Also, who says that?
Well, he's a professional entertainer. You know, I think he wanted
professional
to...
liars say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I think they even mentioned that in the panel discussion, but...
Well, the part when he was like, well, this is the truth, actually.
This is the truth. Liars are always, you know, trying to convince you that it's the truth.
I liked how they got the panel, and they very quickly were just like, yeah, this is what domestic abusers do. Like, they... They threaten whatever. They try to justify their... Like, it was very cut and dry, which I liked.
Yeah. I didn't... I mean, anything OJ related is pretty exploitative, but I think that they did definitely try to do...
It was surprisingly balanced.
Yeah.
With the exploitation, with Nicole's friend crying, with, like, actual experts. Because to me, when I look at this, it's just like... Well, yeah, that's who gets murdered. It's like women by their husbands or husbands by their wives. And then about 5% of other murders is like crime or like a bar fight or something. But that's like most murders. So I liked how they were finally looking at that aspect of it.
Yeah.
That perspective.
The domestic violence.
Yeah.
And kind of relating how close like love and jealousy and violence is.
What about the part... Well, okay, another thing. OJ, he was, like, smirking and laughing. He seemed, like, nervous. Which is, like, that's, like, when you get uncomfortable, that's, like, a instinct, is to kind of, like, laugh it off or kind of make light of it. But the way he was like, well, you know, most guys would know about this, you know. Oh, yeah, I'm sure most guys know, you know.
Yeah, he's very locker room talk.
Yeah, definitely.
And there was a lot of times in the interview where I was fascinated with how much he can... Like, he's a crazy sociopath, like, probably, like, the most, like, insane sociopath. Like, I don't know, I actually don't know what's going on in his mind, and this one really, you know, I used to think, oh, he's just, like, a football player with a big ego, but I actually think he's, like, a psycho.
Why would someone do this? Yeah. Whether they were the murderer or not. Nothing like this has ever been done.
And there's so many things that unfold over this interview that show that he's got something really wrong with his thinking. And that he starts off by saying, I know the truth better than anyone. Then he also says, he tells a story about when he met Nicole at the Daisy. And his friend introduces him and he's like, this is OJ. He's one of the good guys. Like, he's trying to convince the people, the viewers, that he's not...
He's
not a psycho.
Yeah.
Which is psycho.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. If you're not a psycho, then you don't need to convince anybody. But if you are a psycho, you're like, no, I'm not crazy.
This is one of the good guys. Like, no one would ever say that.
And another thing I loved about the special, they didn't really go into his hypothetical story about Charlie coming over to the house and blah, blah, blah. Because it's like, obviously that's not true. And so the fact that they didn't even give that any airtime, they just cut straight, they cut it to where he was just like, and then Charlie handed me the knife.
Maybe we should break it down in case anybody that's listening to it didn't watch it, but they kind of want to hear our opinion or something.
Yeah.
So they go through, they kind of go chronologically about from when OJ met Nicole up until the murders.
The dance recital.
And that is all factual, his opinion. But then when it comes to the murders, they switch to this hypothetical situation. And when OJ starts telling this hypothetical story of what would have happened during the murder, he starts talking about someone named Charlie.
Yeah, so OJ's story, and this is the same story that's in If I Did It, is one of OJ's friends, who didn't even know that well, came by Rockingham and was like, oh, I heard all these rumors about Nicole, we should go down there. And so the two of them went down there, and then Charlie was the one who brought the knife, even. And
he brought the knife that OJ already kept in the Bronco.
Oh, right.
He said, oh, I always kept a knife in my car because, you know, to protect myself against, like, psychos running around Brentwood.
Yeah. A knife, like...
Okay.
And he had a bunch of cars. Was there a knife in every car or just the Bronco?
Yeah.
But OJ says that Charlie was with him, and that's why there's the two sets of footprints. But on the Fox special, they very quickly were just like, no, Charlie is OJ. That's, like, his alter ego. Which is, like, extra creepy and scary.
That part is so fascinating. I had to watch it twice because I was like, wait, what? What is going on here? Because he talks about Charlie at first, but then he immediately switches over to first person.
And then I did this.
Did this, then I did that. Then all of a sudden there's blood everywhere. And then you never hear about Charlie again.
No. Yeah, and then I said to Charlie, by the way, don't tell anybody about this, so, but I got your back.
And Charlie's the one that hid the knife.
Yeah. Charlie is his alt. Maybe Charlie was the one doing the interview. Maybe he has, like, a split personality.
Yeah, what I was going to say, what's your...
Charlie Simpson.
Charlie Simpson. What is your... What's your opinion... What's your theory about Charlie?
Well, the way Charlie came up, I guess, in the foreword to If I Did It, Pablo Fenevez, the author, was kind of just gave, like, what it was like writing the book. And OJ, like, wouldn't talk about the murder. And he's like, you know, we got to get to this. It's, like, the big part of the book. And OJ's like, you know, I couldn't have done this alone. And then he's like, well, who did? He's like, I had a guy with me. And then Pablo Fenevez was like, should we call him Charlie? He's like, yeah, sure, Charlie. So I don't think OJ came up with the name Charlie. Right. But Charlie is sort of his, like, is the evil OJ. There's two OJs.
Right.
There's, like, the football great, like, the All-American guy, one of the good guys.
The persona.
Yeah. And then Charlie is the real OJ, who's, like, you know, the hardened criminal growing up on the mean streets of Potrero Hill. you know, beating his wife, doing drugs, and dating Paula Barbier. Who dated Paula? Charlie or...
Right. Well, I think that it's definitely, like, another sign of a major crack in his, like, personality, like, when he starts talking about Charlie, because I think that maybe, what's the guy's name that...
The author?
Yeah.
Pablo Fenevez. Who still lives in Brentwood, by the way, and I've run into giving the OJ tour.
Does he wave, like, hey, it's a Bronco?
One time he was full on walking, twice I've seen him, well, I saw him without the Bronco, just in his, he drives like a BMW or something, and he sort of like gave me like a little, like, a little nod or whatever, and then he saw me in the Bronco, and I think he kind of rolled his eyes, like, oh boy, but he doesn't care, he cashed in, just, he got the OJ bump.
Yeah.
Everyone gets the bump. The guy who did the first, from ABC 7 local news here, who did the first story on the OJ Museum, which actually didn't air because there was a wildfire that they had to go cover, he's now the anchor, like, in the studio.
Oh, wow.
He got promoted. OJ bump.
OJ bump.
Doesn't even have to air and you get the bump. But anyway, back to the special. I'm checking my notes here. Some of the facts weren't exactly right. They said it was lost. It wasn't. It was pulled. You know, they didn't really go into that.
Right. They say that because it's a buzzword, right? Got anything to get back against American Idol.
Seacrest.
That bitch.
Dunkelman, maybe.
Yeah.
What
about Eve Shakti Chen?
Oh, yeah. From someone from their inner circle. That's a big friend group.
Yeah, I've never seen her before.
She looked familiar. Like, I think the pictures of her, I was like, you know, 25 years old or whatever. I remember her back then. But I thought at first when they showed her, she was Cora Fishman.
Right.
Who, and they mentioned the Fishmans in this. They never really come out, but Dr. Fishman and Cora Fishman were a couple, also an interracial couple, actually, but she was Asian, he was white, but a couple in their friend group, and Cora was the first one to have an affair with a bag boy from the local supermarket, which was either the Ralphs on Bundy or Vicente Foods. I'd like to think it was Vicente Foods.
Yeah, probably.
But she had an affair with the bag boy, and then once she started having an affair, the whole friend group collapsed, apparently. And Dr. Fishman was the one who told OJ that all the women were doing drugs and it was really bad, and OJ had no idea. Which is another thing where he's trying to justify it, like, oh, she was a terrible mother, she gave me no choice.
Yeah. Well, he says she's a good mother, but then he says, he's back and forth, he's like, she was a great mother, but then she's like, partying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another little detail. I think it was in, you know, I get so much OJ media. Sometimes I, whatever. But in their timeline on this special, they were saying that Ron had already been inside the apartment and Nicole was bringing him outside, like showing him to the door, and she was barefoot and in like a nightie. So I had always thought
Ron, in this one, they propose that Ron got killed
he'd already been inside.
Initiated first, but Ron got attacked first, then Nicole, then Ron again.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I thought Ron had kind of walked into something, but then I was giving a tour and somebody was like, well, wait, how did he get past the gate? Wouldn't it have been locked?
Right.
So OJ must have seen something. I don't know. And by the way, they keep referring to Ron as her friend. Just say Ron Goldman. Everyone knows who he is.
Did the Goldmans profit off of this since it's based on If I Did It?
I don't think they did. But apparently Fox had permission to air this.
Do you think they watched it?
Oh, of course. Of course they watched it.
I think they did too. I was like, oh God, they're like TiVoing it and like complaining about it. And all.
Oh, there he is right there. He's confessing. And then of course they go into the car chase. Oh, they mention OJ's third child with Marguerite, the one who drowned in the pool.
Yes.
That I think is kind of like the turning point in OJ's life. Where, like, he gets, like, the where Charlie, like, really comes out. All the darkness. I don't know. Just a little theory.
Well, that poor baby, because they talk about when he meets Nicole that, like, he had just found out that Marguerite was pregnant for the third time. And he's like, oh, great, like.
Gotta stay married because another kid.
How can you be pregnant? Like, I don't know, OJ. You should know. Like, he already was kind of prefacing it, like, he wasn't that happy about it. Child.
No.
That pregnancy.
Do you think he murdered the child?
No.
No, definitely not.
I think it was just like something that, like, if you're not that happy about a kid.
But it maybe put in OJ's head that life was meaningless. You know, there was no.
You think that's the one thing that could get through a psychopath's head?
Well, I think all of the brain damage from playing football was probably the main contributing factor. I really believe that.
And mixed with
the CTE.
Plus really? I never believe that. I think it's just pure.
Like, every football player has CTE.
It's got to be part of it. Okay, I'll say that's part of the formula, but I think a lot of it is just ego.
Okay, but
a stadium full of people cheering for you would totally drive you crazy if you're already susceptible. And then drugs like steroids, then you get getting your head bashed in.
But not
it's like a combo.
Not every football player has murdered their ex-wife.
No, he's
but everyone has CTE.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a cocktail. It's a deadly cocktail.
I feel like the CTE thing is just like an excuse to.
Well, I think if the trial happened today,
to think he's not just a crazy person.
But the CTE didn't help.
Yeah.
And he is crazy and nuts. But overall, a fascinating piece of television. I think that's JJ's baby, Xena, the newest OJ fan. Her first words were actually "Run, Juice, Run."
But I can't. I mean, now that I am a mother, I can't believe that someone would do that while their kids were upstairs.
But he wasn't a very good father. Like, he didn't really care about the
kids.
But
it's like you even more so, and then just knowing that Nicole. Maybe Nicole was partying and she was abused and everything they say about her, but everyone always says she is a dedicated mother.
Yeah,
and
he that's even true. Says
her only real fault was that she was too much into the kids.
Yeah.
That she was there for them too much. Like,
oh, and she got mean when she gained weight.
Yeah.
That's in Facebook too, I think.
I want to talk about that too, because I've obviously just had a baby recently, and every woman gains weight when they get pregnant. You have to, because it protects the baby.
Yeah.
The body gains weight just to, like...
When you got all the guts and stuff inside.
Yeah.
And cushion. Yeah.
Just from what I've seen, I've never seen a fat picture of Nicole Simpson.
I've never seen a picture of her pregnant, though. Maybe she wouldn't let any pictures be taken of her.
I know, but, like, someone who works out that much, that's vain, they take care of themselves. I did absolutely no exercise. I'm older. And I gained 40 pounds, which is really, like, not that much. So I'm just trying to imagine, like, 40, even 60 mm-hmm. pounds on Nicole Simpson. She couldn't have looked that bad.
Yeah.
Well, she was a pretty thin, fit, mm-hmm. athletic body.
And she was young when she had those kids, too.
What? Yeah.
She was, like, still in her
20s, died when she was 35.
Yeah, oldest kid was 7. Yeah, she was 28 and 30.
Yeah.
And she was having the kids.
So OJ obviously has some really high standards for what he expects of his women, and I found that really irritating, just watching him talk about her being mad when she's overweight. First thing her mom said was, "Watch her weight."
He puts it all on Nicole.
Yeah.
Which is like classic abuser behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I bet people watched this whole special and still aren't convinced he did it. And, in fact, I'll give you two examples. I put on the OJ Tour Facebook page, put a link. It's like, did you guys watch it? And only the OJ's innocent people ever pipe up on these conversations, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because, I don't know. It's a weird disconnect. But one person, the first comment was, man, I wish he hadn't have talked about the night of June 12th. Didn't do him any favors. It's like, that's the point of the special.
It's called a confession.
And then this other woman was like, yeah, they tried to trap him, but Juice wasn't having any of that. It's like, I'm pretty sure he confessed. I'm pretty sure everyone who, like, some people, though, they just refuse to believe that he did it.
Yeah.
A lot of younger people, too. Because OJ is like this anti-hero.
Well, he's the original person that was calling out what the media did to him.
Yeah.
It's like he's the ultimate, he's the first person to just crack through that. The media did this to me. Him, then Tanya Harding, then Donald Trump.
Tanya was she didn't turn on the media until after that.
Until later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a tabloid. It wasn't, hers was a tabloid, but it's not a media circus.
So, anything else, JJ?
Any
more notes?
I do like how when he confessed, he said that Ron Goldman got into a karate mode.
Oh, yeah. That's in in the book. Ron does like a because he's a black belt. He does like a judo pose. And OJ goes, and I wished he was going to say this on the special, but in the book, he goes, you're going to do that karate shit?
Right.
Oh, also when he mentioned Ron, he's like, oh, yeah, maybe I saw him around, whatever. He definitely knew who Ron was.
Yeah. The fact that he played it off is like, yeah, I like.
Yeah, so confirmation. I've always believed that he recognized Ron. It's like, oh, that waiter from the restaurant.
I also, the fact that he, I always forget that he just overkilled Ron Goldman.
Oh, yeah. Literally. Literally the definition of overkill.
He was already dead. And then
yeah.
That's really...
He was mad. Ugh. Did you see National Geographic published all the uncensored photos finally?
Oh, God, no.
It's been 25 years. Let's just... Because before they put the black bar over
the
Nicole's...
Bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
You know, print is dying. They need to get out there.
Got
to
bring out the...
You can find those photos, though. They've been around for a while.
Do you think... Oh, yeah. This is a good thing to talk about. Do you think... Because when in the interview, they kind of talk about how OJ... He watched... The Bronco chase, he watched the trial. He watched a lot of it on TV. He watched himself on TV. So do you think he watched this episode?
Because
he's out of jail.
Yeah. I mean, I think curiosity would have gotten the better of him. I think he would have had to have watched. Now, I don't know if he had like a big viewing party in Vegas. But yeah, I think he probably watched it. Yeah. Well, all things considered, I mean, he came off pretty good if some people still don't think that he did it.
Yeah.
Confessed on television.
Yep.
Leave it to OJ to get the last word. All these years after the documentaries and the miniseries and stuff.
Yeah. Double Jeopardy, his best friend.
What do you think of Soledad O'Brien as the host? They could have got some. Could have got somebody. Got somebody better. Somebody better. Better.
Yeah.
Somebody more tied to
who
it.
Who wants to do it?
Oh, I would have done it.
Well, you would have been great.
Yeah. They should have interviewed me on the special.
Yeah.
Fox 11, the local news, aired like a panel where they got like a bunch of their journalists together to like reminisce about it.
Uh-huh.
And I was hoping they were going to show a clip of the OJ Museum, but they didn't.
Ugh.
But the guy who did the story on the OJ Museum was in the thing.
Yeah.
But they went and LAPD still has the glove. They went and looked at it all these years later.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. They got to do some late night, like, you want to see the glove? Hey, new guy.
I know. That needs to be in a museum or something.
It does.
Police museum.
The OJ Museum.
Yeah. OJ Museum 2.
Yeah.
Well, until I think, is that
oh,
about
wait,
it?
Oh, okay. Wait. We have more? To talk about, sorry, last, this is
okay.
OJ yelling at Nicole's grapes.
Oh, when he went down there after the chase?
Yeah, I've never heard that before, that he's been seen yelling at Nicole's gravesite.
Yeah, he's probably mad at her for putting him, in his perspective, putting him in this position where he was a big movie star.
Yeah.
And then now, because he loved her too much, or she was too devoted of a mother, or like whatever.
She shouldn't have worn that outfit to the Sydney's recital.
Oh, yeah, the revealing outfit. Yeah, so he's mad for her making him do this.
Yeah, and ruining his life. Killing him, basically.
Although, arguably, he's more famous now than he's ever been.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he was super famous before.
He's a legend now.
Yeah, he is. Juice. The juice. Well, I couldn't find the OJ joke book. Should we read a passage? Did you pull something out of Faye Resnick's book, or did you find anything good? I have a book here called The Confession of OJ Simpson, which is like fan fiction from 1996. But it's really meandering, and there's not really a part of it. But maybe I can just read like a passage from it.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm just going to flip to a random section here. This is great podcasting here. Let's see. It was hard to look at him. Both of us were embarrassed at having broken down in front of me. Although the crying had stopped, his chest was still heaving, and his breathing coming in spasms. Reluctantly, I went over to him and lightly touched his shoulder. OJ, you've got to try and pull it together. I know, I'm sorry. He still couldn't look at me. The awkwardness of this scene, both of us standing there while he attempted to regain his composure, quickly became uncomfortable. I said, "Why don't you go sit down on the couch until you feel better?" He gratefully complied. See, that's how I know it's fiction. OJ would never cry.
Yeah.
He would never show weakness. You know, most guys wouldn't do something like that. also, he wouldn't show any remorse. So, purely a work of fiction.
Yeah. Someone had to.
Yeah. Well, folks, we're going to sign off, but you better believe next time there's an OJ special, when OJ dies, that's when it's really... And next year, it's 25th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, we'll do some kind of special.
Yeah, there's always more juice to drink. But until next time, it's Adam Papp again for JJ Stratford reminding you, don't squeeze the juice. Say juice. Zena, say juice.
Say juice.